Thank you guys very, very much. So today is the beginning process of our spiritual life team calling. And so you fill out those names as you feel God is leading you to do that. Those names go on to the gifts discernment team. Gifts discernment team prayerfully looks at those and then makes the decisions about who to go and ask to if they're willing to serve on the spiritual life team. So we wanted to take a kind of a break from this series on Heat of the Moment, which we have one more week next week, but wanted to take a little bit of break and kind of talk about this idea of God's calling. And I want to expand it beyond the idea of being called into the spiritual life team. Some of you are going to be called by the church, by God, into the spiritual life team, but not everybody's going to be doing that. So there's other things, though, that God is working on us and working through us. So, Kurt, if you'll put those notes up for me, if I loaded them correctly, we'll be good. There we go. And do you know how to put the computer on? All right, thanks. All right. Kurt's filling in today. So usually we skew younger back there at the computer, but, you know, Kurt, so we're not sure. So thanks, brother. quick thought too. We got back from district conference. A group of us went to district conference yesterday down at New Fairview Church of the Brethren. Had a great time together. There's always some takeaways that you take away. So guys, this one is for you. If you ever end up sharing a room with Rich Miller on a trip, bring earplugs because Rich can really snore. So that's what I learned from my staying overnight at district conference this time. So ladies, you won't have to worry about that. But guys, if you ever get an opportunity to share a room with Rich, make sure that you bring earplugs because, boy, he can snore. So he'll be here next service. I'll mention that to him then again. All right, so I want to talk about this idea, and we'll have a report about the district conference at some point down the road, but I want to talk about this idea of answering God's call this morning. And so as we begin, sure it's on remote there? Yeah, turn it on remote. All right. I knew we were going to have trouble. I just knew that. No, I'm just kidding. Kurt's filling in. Thank you so much, Kurt, for filling in this morning. All right. How do you decide if you are going to answer a call? So kind of what I want to do today is I want to walk alongside the idea of what it's like to answer a telephone call versus what it's like to answer God's call. Now, some of you remember when phones looked like this, right? There were two cords to a phone. The cord was connected, the base of the phone was connected to the wall, and then the headset was actually connected to the phone, right? And you stuck your finger in there and you went, you followed it around. I always thought that was really fun as a kid to do. And you know, though, some of you guys that, you know, you've only grown up in the cell phone era, we had all of those same features that you have today in our cell phones. We had them back then, right? Like, we had caller ID back in the 60s and 70s. It was just simply the words, who is it, right? Who is it was caller ID. So when they called, who is it? That was your caller ID. We had call forwarding. You picked up the phone and, oh, hi, Uncle Bill, you want to speak to Dad? Sure. Hey, Dad, it's Uncle Bill on the phone. What's that? That's call forwarding, right? Call forwarding. Call screening? We had call screening. You know, you'd pick up the phone, again, Uncle Bill's calling, and, hey, hold on a second, let me see if my dad's home, and, you know, hey, Dad, do you want to speak to Uncle Bill? And he would say, well, tell him I'm not here, right? Or if you were more spiritual than that, you'd have the system worked out where Dad would be in one room and he would just step into another room and you'd say, tell Uncle Bill I just what? Stepped out, right? Some of you know you've done this, right? Sorry, Uncle Bill, Dad just stepped out. You know, can he call you back? What is that? That's call screening. So we had all of those features before we had them more electronically. It was just that we're a little bit more old school the way that we had to do it. But how do you decide if you are going to answer a call? How do you decide if you are going to answer a call? Because in our tradition, as it relates to spiritual life, and really I think as God works in calling in our lives, no one is required to answer the call. God doesn't draft people. Now, sometimes God's call seems to be a little more emphatic than at other times in our lives or in the lives of other people, and certain testimonies that people give about how they understood God was calling them to something. But we don't draft people into the spiritual life team or other ministries here. It's a volunteer kind of thing. You have to answer that call, and you're not obligated to do it. So the whole premise of my sermon this morning is there a connection between the criteria that we use to answer a phone call and the criteria that we use to determine how we answer God's call? And, of course, the answer is yes. And that's what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes. So how do you answer, how do you decide whether you're going to answer a call when you get it on your phone? And I think that relates a lot to how you decide if you're going to answer what God is calling you to do, whatever kind of ministry or whatever kind of activity that he may be calling you to do, something within the church or something outside of the church and in your world. How are you going to make that determination? So let's kind of walk through four different questions really quick, and then we'll go back and look at them as it relates to God. So number one is, who is calling? Who is calling? You make a determination about whether or not you're going to answer that call at times based on who is calling, right? We all do it, right? You know, some people go to where? Voicemail, right? They just go to voicemail because it's just like, I don't want to talk to that particular person, or I'm not available to talk to that person. So they go right to voicemail. We all do it. Probably people do it to you too, so don't feel too bad about doing it to them. But we make a decision about whether we're going to answer the call based on who is calling. That's something that factors into our decision, all right? Another possibility is, what are they going to ask me to do? Sometimes it could be someone that you really would love to talk to. They're someone that you enjoy having conversation, but you know they're going to ask you to do something, right? You know, when that Red Cross number comes up on your phone, it's not that you don't like the Red Cross. You enjoy the Red Cross. The Red Cross does wonderful things, but they're going to ask you to give blood. And the last time you gave blood, you got sort of woozy, and even the fantastic cookies and other stuff that you had, and if you give blood here, you get real food. It's amazing. January 2nd, 2018 is the blood drive here. We go way beyond the norm in terms of providing goodies for folks who give blood. But you don't want to answer the phone because you know they're going to ask you, you know, we need you, and when can we schedule your appointment? And so you just let the call go through, right? Another criteria that you might use is, do I have time to talk? You know, maybe it's somebody that you really enjoy talking to. Maybe you're not really concerned about them asking you to do something you don't want to do, but you just don't have time. You're busy. It's just not a good time for me to talk to someone. So you just let the call go. You don't answer the call. And then the last one is simply this idea of, what's in it for me? If I answer this call, what's the benefit going to be for me? So those are four questions that you might run through in your mind, not all of them all of the time, but as you think about answering a regular phone call. And I think these questions, and I'm sure there are more, we don't have time for more, but I think that these questions play into our minds as we try to figure out whether or not we're going to do that which we think God is calling us to do. Now, God's calling in your life might come through, I don't know, you might hear a voice. Probably not going to happen, but you might hear God's voice. You might just sense this very strong inner leading. You might be reading the Bible, and all of a sudden you sense that God is calling you to do something. God's call can come through someone else. Someone else can come up to you and say, hey, have you ever considered volunteering in this way? Or have you ever considered doing this? Or, you know, God's really placed it on my heart to ask you if you would consider to do this. Now, hopefully that gets confirmed through other people and through God's own activity in your life. But there's lots of ways that we can be called by God to follow him and to offer ourselves to him. And the idea of God calling is found throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, from Abraham to Paul, right? There are all kinds of people that God calls for his service. Some large offices like the king or a prophet, some highly visible thing like Paul going off to be a missionary, all of that sort of stuff. But also there are little things that God calls people to do, just something that takes just a few minutes, right? God calls people in the Bible just simply to go up to other people and just give them a word, right? So say, hey, this is what you want to do. Remember, like in the New Testament, where God calls Ananias to go over and lay hands on Saul so that Saul can receive his sight. I mean, that's not something that takes all day. That's not a lifetime commitment or anything like that. It's just, hey, Ananias, I need you to go and do this. Now, Ananias was reluctant to do that for good reason, but he goes and does it and fulfills God's call in his life. So not all callings are lifelong, right? Not all callings are to positions that people are going to write about you in the newspaper or write about you in the internet or in the annals of church history. In fact, most of those callings are not going to happen for any of us. But it could be something that's very brief, and it could be something that has to do with people. It could be something that has to do with programs. But all throughout the Bible, God is in this process of calling, and he hasn't stopped now. So the question is, will you and will I answer the call? Will we answer the call? So all I want to do, and maybe some of you right now are thinking, yeah, God's been kind of tugging at me to do this. You know, God's been kind of moving in my heart to serve in this ministry or to help out over here or to do something in my school. Maybe today God will confirm that in your life, because I know that God is consistently and constantly calling us to do something. There is so much to be done. But maybe you're not picking up the phone. Maybe today God will move you to do that. So let's walk through these questions again. Who's calling? Well, this one I hope for most of us would be a relative no-brainer. I mean, if God is calling, he should be worthy to answer the phone, right? I mean, if God is calling, then he's worthy of you to answer the call, right? I mean, that makes sense, right? I mean, come on. If you know, there are important people in your life that you have that when they call, you answer, right? One of those people in my life is my wife. Unless I am in a meeting and I don't have my phone with me, or whatever I'm doing, if she calls, I answer it. In fact, it was kind of interesting. As I was writing this particular sermon 4 or 5 weeks ago, she called right at this particular point in time. And I answer it. But you know what? I don't do that for all of you. If I'm in the middle of a sermon, writing a sermon, and you call, unless I'm really expecting you to call me, I probably won't answer the call. I'll probably let it go. Let it go to voicemail, and when I'm finished, pick it back. Because otherwise, it's really hard to get stuff done, right? It's hard. We all have people, though, in our lives that when they call, we are going to answer that call because of who they are in our lives. I would hope that you would understand it, you would appreciate that if God is calling, then it's someone that we should answer the call. He's important enough. He's smart enough. He's valuable enough in our lives that we are simply going to answer that call. So how do we know that it's God that's calling, right? How do you know it's God who's calling? Well, a couple of different, lots of different times that God does this in the Bible. One of my favorite examples of God calling is actually not this scripture, but it's 1 Samuel chapter 3. Some of you, if you know the Old Testament story where God calls Samuel, and Samuel's a young lad. We don't know exactly how old he is at this particular point in time, but he's sleeping and he hears this voice, Samuel, right? And he goes and he wakes up the priest Eli and he says, "Hey, what do you want?" And Eli's like, I didn't call you. And so he goes back, go back to sleep. So he goes back to sleep, and then God, Samuel, Samuel. And so, goes and gets Eli up again. And it's a sort of interesting process. And finally, you know, Eli says to Samuel, "Hey, if you hear that again, then say something to the effect of, 'It is I, Lord.'" And so then God connects with Samuel, and Samuel receives God's call on his life. But here in Acts chapter 13, we have the idea of the church sending out sort of those first missionaries out of the Jerusalem area out into the world, and says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" I can't give you a way for you to know how God is calling, or whether it's God calling or whether it's somebody else calling. But one of the things that I think is instructive in this particular text is that first phrase, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted." Be engaged in devotional time with God. Give God access to your life. It's very hard to know that it's God who's calling if you're not giving God any time to call you, right? If you're not giving him any undivided time as you minister to him, as you read the word, as you pray. And here's talks about fasting. Sometimes that's a way of trying to understand, is this really what God wants in my life? Can I eliminate some distractions? Can I just sort of focus in on listening to God's voice in my life? And then oftentimes we hear, and then we can follow and we can obey. So who is calling? If God is calling, I hope. And if you're here this morning, it's like, you know, God isn't up there yet. He's not at that level. In other words, you know, God is not someone that I would consider really even thinking about calling. Then we would love to help you to get to know him so that he would have that place in your life. That, yes, if God is calling, if on your caller ID somehow it came up God, you would go, "Okay, yep, I'm going to call that. I'm going to answer that one no matter what." So who's calling? The second one is, what are they going to ask me to do? What are they going to ask me to do? What is God going to ask me to do? And the major objection that I have found over the years is that most of the time we feel like we're not qualified. Most of the time we feel like we're not qualified. If we feel that God is leading us to do some type of teaching or leading us to do some type of service, the number one objection to many people is, you know, I'm just not qualified. There has to be somebody better equipped to do that task than me. There has to be somebody better able to do the job than me. So what are they going to ask me to do? Am I really qualified to do that? Well, let me just remind us that if God asks you to do something, then he will equip you to do it. If from out of the blue you get a call to serve on the spiritual life team and you're like, I've never even thought about that before, but there are people here in this congregation that felt led to do that and the gifts of the sermon team felt led, don't allow yourself to think, I can't do it. Because I couldn't be equipped to do it. Yeah, God'll take care of that. Right? One of my favorite passages about this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Paul writes, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to," and it's personalized for us too, right? Brethren, it's personalized. "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the weak, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty." I believe often God can use our natural talents and our natural abilities to serve him. But there are also times when God says, "You know what? You don't really have any ability to do this, but I'm going to give you the ability to do it." Kind of like the idea last week when we talked about where God said to Paul that God's strength is made perfect in Paul's weakness. Right? So we're looking at it going, Now, practically speaking, yes, we would provide training and we make everything available to you, or you can find out how to be trained. And I'm not saying that you should just wing it. But if God is calling you, then he will equip you. He will help you to do it. There's an old saying out there that says that God doesn't call the equipped, but God equips the called. I don't know if that's always true. Again, I think that we go through things like a network class where we try to identify your spiritual gifts, help you identify your spiritual gifts, help you identify your passions of ministry. I think God often works through those things, but sometimes in ways in which we don't understand or in ways in which we wouldn't expect. But if God is calling you to something, do not think to yourself, "Well, boy, I really feel like God is leading me here, but there's no way I can do this, so I'm not going to answer the phone because I don't want to do what they asked me to do." Because if he's called you, he'll equip you to do that which he's asked you to do. What are you doing that is more important than what God is calling you to do? What are you doing in your life that is more important than what God would call you to do? And the answer is nothing. Nothing. But if you're like me, you don't have a lot of margin, right? You don't have a lot of margin in your life. Most of us don't have a lot of financial margin. Most of us don't have a lot of time margin. We kind of fill ourselves up pretty much right to the brim. And so then God is calling us to do something and we're saying, "Well, I can't do that, or that's not something that I want to do, or that's important for me to do." But the things that we do for God are the things that have eternal impact, right? The things that we do for God are the opportunities that God can use to change people's lives for eternity. It's more important than any hobby that we have. And even in the context of our work, we need to look for how God is calling us to use that work to glorify him and to serve him. So please, if this has to do with priority, if God is calling you to do something, then it's more important than whatever it is that you have to push out of your schedule so that you can make that happen. Right? It is. It's more important than that. So, if he's calling you to do something, and you've been putting it off or pushing it away because you just can't find time in your schedule, God's probably going to give you some guidance as to some things you can remove from your schedule, because he's not going to give you more hours in the day. But what's more important? There's nothing more important than serving this God that has created us and saved us. And it can be small things, and it can be big things, but there's nothing more important than that. Another thought is that there is great potential in answering God's call, right? There's so much potential in answering God's call. How many of you know the name Edward Kimball? It has nothing to do with the piano organ. Edward Kimball. I don't think anybody in here knows who Edward Kimball is. Now, if I said Dwight Moody, many more of you would know who Dwight Moody is. Dwight Moody was one of the premier evangelists and preachers in the 19th century. We have Moody Bible Institute, Moody College in Chicago, Moody Radio. If you go Google, you'll find all kinds of things about Moody. But nobody knows who Edward Kimball was. But Edward Kimball was Dwight Moody's Sunday school teacher when he was a young man. And it was Edward Kimball who introduced Dwight Moody to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Dwight Moody became converted to a Jesus follower and literally in the 19th century changed the world. So there's great potential. You don't know who the next D.L. Moody is, right? We don't know. Like, what's the potential in me teaching first grade boys or first grade girls? I don't know. Who knows? Who knows the impact that you can have? We heard this great story at the Children's Aid Society report yesterday about a man named Dan, right? Eli's name is Dan, who volunteers 12 hours a week at the one of the centers in Children's Aid Society. Just some tremendous stories about kids, you know, asking kids, you know, hey, which toy do you want to play with? In this room full of toys. And you know what the little boy or girl says? I want to play with the toys that you're going to play with. Because I want to play with you. Come on, what kind of potential is that? What kind of impact can that make? It's amazing. But you don't really know that up front. You're not guaranteed that. Okay, God, if I decide to teach Sunday school, or I decide to lead help with a youth group that you know, I'm going to be able to impact somebody who's going to change the world. You don't get any of that up front. There's great potential in following what God is asking you to do. And that potential is often not seen by you and me. It's faith that we say, yes, I will do that. And then God unfolds what happens after that. Next question, do I have time to talk? This is the second most obvious objection to answering God's call, I think. First is I'm not ready, I'm not equipped, I can't do it. The second one is I don't have time. You know, all of us have 168 hours in the week. And we all have time to do that which God is calling us to do. It doesn't make sense for God to call us to do something and that we not have time for it. Now again, sometimes we may have to move some things around. We have to delete some things. We have to take some things out of our lives or out of our schedule for a period of time. But God knows all of that when he calls you, and he'll help you rearrange that schedule. But for many of us, it's just a simple little thing of giving a couple of hours. You know? We can always use nursery workers, right, Jess? We'll always use nursery workers. An hour and a half out of your week. That's not even 1% of your week. Oh. Could you give that? We could use that. Other ways in which maybe God will lead you to volunteer. Often it's not a 20-hour a week commitment. Sometimes it's 2 hours a week. Seems kind of silly to tell God, I don't have 2% of my life to give to what you're calling me to do. 2% would be what? 3.5 hours. Doesn't make much sense, does it? So we do have time. We have time to answer God's call. We have time to do that which God is calling us to do. And then lastly, what's in it for me? Like this is where it all boils down to for most of us, right? I mean, let's just be honest. I'll be honest with you. I often look at life about what's in it for me. Now, sometimes I hope that I understand that I don't really understand what's in it for me and the fact that actually serving others is beneficial for me. I get that. I know the scriptures. Sometimes it's hard to live that way, but I understand all of that. But many times it comes down to, you know, what is the benefit for me? Can I just tell you, if you don't already know, that when God calls you to do something, there is always great benefit for you. There is always great benefit to do that which God has called you to do, right? There's always a benefit answering God's call. Colossians chapter 3, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Oh, men and women, boys and girls, we have got to remember that when we follow God's call, whatever it is, there is great benefit. Great benefit. You may not even see it on this side of eternity. I don't know how old Edward Kimball was when Dwight Moody became prominent in the Christian world. I don't know if he was even alive at that particular point in time. But there was great benefit in his willingness to teach a bunch of unruly boys in Sunday school, or unruly young men in Sunday school. There is great benefit to whatever God is calling you to do. There is something in it for you as you serve this great God. I ran across this quote, and I could not find who to attribute it to. I wish I had come up with it, but I did not. You can count the apples on a tree, but only God can count the apples in a seed. I've never heard that before. That's amazing. You can count the apples on a tree. So what I'm going to look at that quote is, you know, I can sort of figure out what my potential for benefit is, right? I can figure out how many apples I can pick off that tree. I can look at God's calling in my life and say, okay, well, if I do that, then this is probably the benefit that's going to come out of it. And I make this calculation, right? I make this determination. So if I do this, if I do the nursery, if I teach Sunday school, if I volunteer at the school, whatever it is that God is leading me to do, this is what I think the benefit is going to be. But we're not qualified to make that calculation, because all we can do is count the apples on the tree. All we can do is see what we can see. But God can count the apples in the seed. God knows what he's going to do with the time, the money, the energy that you put into it to answer God's call. God can see the apples in the seed that you might equate to your time that you're giving. So answer the call. Say yes to what God is doing. You will not be disappointed. Quickly review. Is God calling? Come on, what's he calling you to do? I firmly believe God doesn't have any days where he's just, or any sort of ways they're going through the heavenly roster up there. You know, God's like, you know, I don't really need anybody in that county this year. No, we're good. We'll give them the day. We'll let them lie fallow for the year. It doesn't work that way. Right? God is calling us to do things. God is calling us to engage. God is calling us to join him in his work. And he is worthy to answer that call. So what is he calling you to do? And it's like, he's not calling me to do anything. Then I think you need to spend some time ministering to the Lord. Maybe even fasting. Praying. Maybe talking to other people that you know, that you trust in your life. And say, hey, what do you think God might be doing in my life? What do you think God might be calling me to do? Because I don't really sense anything. Don't think that he's not calling you to do something. Don't think that he doesn't need you to accomplish his purposes, because he does. What is he asking you to do? Don't feel that you're not equipped. He'll equip you. He will equip you to do that which he's called you to do. He is faithful to do that. He will do that. And often again, he uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He uses ordinary people like you and me to change the world for the kingdom of God. Do you have time? Oh, come on. Yes, you do. I can go theological on you and say that if you've followed Christ, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you don't even have any time. It's his 168 hours a week. It's not yours anymore. You're a slave. Slaves don't get to tell the master what they do with their time, right? It doesn't happen. The slave doesn't get to say, hey, you know, I'm not really interested in going out in the field today. I'm just going to play tiddlywinks. Most of you don't have that opportunity to do with your supervisors, right? Your boss, whoever it is that you work for. If you're retired, you get to look in the mirror and say, I don't really feel like doing that today. And it's okay for you to do that, I suppose. But you don't get to go into work and say, you know, I just didn't really have time for work today. I'm just going to check out. They say, okay, don't come back. Well, come on, we have to. Now again, you can abuse this. You can think that God is calling you to give 75 hours a week to something else and wreck your life, wreck your family, wreck your health. He's not calling you to do that then, right? But if God is calling you to something, you have time to do it. So give him the time. Take some of that other stuff out of your schedule if you need to. Maybe God will call you to do this for a particular season of life, and then you are released from that call. But we do have time. And then just understand that there is great benefit in it for you. You might not be able to see it. You're certainly not able to calculate all of the benefit that can come for the kingdom of God from you answering God's call, because you can't see the apples in the seed. But God can. But God can. So for those of you that might be getting called into spiritual life team, I encourage you that if that call comes, to answer it, say, yep, I'll do that. For those of you that are sensing that God is leading you to things here, maybe serving here, and I could serve here for a couple of hours a week, or maybe on a Sunday morning, I just don't know what to do, then would you please email or call or fill out that connection card and drop it in the boxes back there and say, hey, what do you need? Because we have all kinds of things we can do with you. And we need you. If God's calling, answer it. Follow him. You won't regret it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this process that you use in your world to call us. These people sitting here have heard me say it more times than they probably want to, that I am always amazed that you want to use people like us. It seems to me that it would be better for you to create some type of cyborg robot thing that doesn't need sleep and that doesn't need food and that doesn't get tired and that doesn't get selfish. That would go around and preach the gospel and take care of the poor and do all those things that seemingly to me could be done so much more effectively with some sort of robot thing or angelic beings. But the truth of it, the matter is, God, that you don't do that. I think you use angels. I don't think you use cyborg robot creatures, but I think you use angels. But mostly you use people like us. You call us to come alongside of other people, to come alongside babies in a nursery, to come alongside kids in the school who don't have enough food on the weekend through a backpack program, to come alongside those who've never heard about Jesus, to come alongside people in other parts of the world like the Dominican Republic or Africa or South Africa, or wherever it might be. You call people like us, people who get tired on airplanes, people who have to struggle with the money piece of it and the time. And I've come to a point in my life when I've realized that you're smarter than me. And that if this is the way that you do it, it has to be the best way to do it. That you offer people like us opportunities to answer your call and join you in your work. So, Father, whatever you might be calling people here at Buffalo Valley to do as they walked in here this morning, I pray they answer yes. I pray that the folks that are here that maybe don't have a sense of you calling them into anything, I pray that they would spend some time with you, maybe even ask some questions of others, because you have not put them on the shelf. And those that can see the potential of changing the world through Christ, but maybe don't yet know who Jesus is or don't have those questions answered, that you would move them to get those questions answered. God, thank you for calling us. And I pray that we respond and say yes. And trust you to see the apples in the seed of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.